Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Nothing will ever change that. Nothing can ever change that. The question is God holy to you and in your life? Is He the Lord? Father God, we exalt you today. We lift you up. We lay ourselves down so that we can proclaim you. Holy are you. None is like you. None can ever be like you. So, Lord, today we celebrate you. We bless you. Lord God, help us to humble our hearts and submit to you fully. To look to you in all things, not just in times of trouble or in times of need, but every single day. Help us to see your righteousness, your holiness, your truth, but to also experience your love, your protection, your provision. Jesus, thank you for what you accomplished, the obedience that you had to die upon the cross for each one of us. Jesus, we fail so many times in our lives to truly make you Lord of our life. And we're sorry for that. But Lord God, in this moment, we just open ourselves up to you. We look for your leading, but more so we look for our time with you. Help us to look into your word and to convene with you during our prayer time, because it really is all about you. Holy Spirit, we know you're here because we know you're within us. And when we gather together, it's just that multiplication that happens. So, Holy Spirit, you do have rule and reign in here this morning. Guide us, convict us, challenge us, direct us. Open our ears and open our hearts. And go with us. As we walk through this life and the challenges of life, and we look around and we see so many people that are apart from you, Lord God, continue to open up those opportunities, those divine opportunities, those chance opportunities, so they seem in our life, to testify as to who you are and to your greatness. So today, it's all about you, and in this week that we're entering, this week of Thanksgiving, Lord God, let our number one thankful heart be toward you, Lord. Because without you, we have no nation. Without you, we have no life. Without you, we have no hope. And this morning, we proclaim that we stand with Israel, though our country is seemingly turning their backs with hatred toward your chosen people. Bridge Assembly, each one of us here, we proclaim that we will stand with Israel no matter what, because standing with Israel is standing with you, God. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our wonderful counselor. We love you. We pray this in your name, and everyone shout it out. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. It's going to be a nice day out, but we're in here this morning. It's going to be great. Hey, I'm going to dismiss the kids right away. We'll get them rolling downstairs. Right on. All right. All right, we have a few announcements, quick announcements. Shoe boxes, when are they due back? Today. What happens if you didn't bring them to service today? You get shoe boxes at your own house. So they will be actually taken at the end of service. So we can't accept them this afternoon or tomorrow. If you do happen to have a shoe box and you didn't bring it, but you want to get it there, you can take it to the Baptist Church in Montana City. South Hills Baptist. So hopefully everybody brought theirs today, and that'll be good. And then after service today, we have our dessert auction. It's always fun. I've been warned that there is a whole bunch of desserts. So they'll probably, we're just going to do it up here. We'll take a quick break after service, and then we'll get all the desserts up here. Then we'll just start at one end, and we'll just work our way down. And remember, this is really, we're raising money for the Hope Center. But in return, we get to go home with a dessert. So please stick around for that. We'll try to get through that as quickly as possible. I think we can do that. And then remember, next Sunday is already the last Sunday of November. Can you believe that? And then we're right into December. So next Sunday, plan to stay. I don't know if this is a prophetic utterance, but I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of dishes made out of leftover turkey. But we'll just see. But plan on staying for that. Now, because it's Thanksgiving week, there will be nothing going on here on Wednesdays. So there's no adult life group, there's no kids, and there's no youth. Take that time, hang out with your family and your friends and all of that. Is that all the announcements? I think that's all the announcements. We're good, right? All right, four ways to give. We'll just keep rolling here. Four ways to give. You can give online at bridgehelena.com or through our app. You can text that amount to 84321. You can use giving boxes. You can mail it. And I would imagine that if you overbid and you buy way too many desserts and you need to pay with a card, like a debit card or a credit card, you could do it online or through our app. You could even text that. I think that will all work out and be fine. But let's be a giving church like always. You guys are awesome at it. You know, we're getting to the end of the year. And then, of course, February, we have our business meeting. But this has been a very blessed year for Bridge Assembly. And we've accomplished a lot. And there's a lot more to do. But great things are happening, and part of that is simply because you're obedient to come on Sunday mornings, you're obedient to participate, you're obedient to pray and to worship and to give and all of those great things. All right, you guys ready for this message? Yeah. This is a great message. What? They're up in the thing. So go to, yeah. I forgot to move them. That's my fault. Yes. 23, part 23. So if you're not a regular attender here, we are actually going through this series on the book of Colossians, which is a pretty short book of the Bible, but we're on part 23. We're in chapter 3. No, we're on 23. Well, that's wrong. No, it's 23. Believe me, I think it's 23. We did 22 last week, so it's 23. But anyway, so we're working our way through the book of Colossians, and it's just a great series. So let's pray, and we'll get started on that. Father, once again, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you, to gather with you, to worship with you, to listen to your word together as a unified body. Lord God, help us to draw closer to you, but also closer to one another. Lord God, in this current time that we're living, it's a time of so much division. But your church isn't about division. Your church is about unity. So help us to just live within all of this togetherness that we can cultivate here in Bridge Assembly, as well as all the other churches that are happening this morning. Lord God, let there be unity within your body. Holy Spirit, today help me to preach those things that you want me to, say the things that you desire me to, shut my mouth with all the other things, and Lord God, help us to receive So easy just to turn a deaf ear or to zone out or to think about other things. But Lord God, you have so much richness in your text, in your Bible, in the scriptures. You desire us to not only receive them, but then to put them into action in our life. So Lord God, let that be today. And Holy Spirit, don't let anybody leave here today the same way that they came in. Part of that will be desserts. And that's okay. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And once again, everyone shouted out, amen. Amen. All right. Well, as Dave said and alluded to, 21 years ago today, I remember what I was doing 21 years ago today. And that's the day that Levi came into this world. And he was more than ready to come into the world. So I remember that, yeah, we went to just a regular doctor's appointment, and that we weren't quite to our due date or anything, and went to the doctor's appointment, and Amy's water broke, and we were at the doctor's, but we had to get to the hospital, so they had to send me down with Amy with a garbage bag for her to sit on, and it was just, And then we get there, and here comes Levi, and he came out hungry. He was just this little tiny guy. But man, he came out, and the nurses were like, we got to feed him right now. And he's been hungry ever since. So that was 21 years ago. But something else happened 30 years ago on this same day. You guys know what that is? Of course not. You weren't around, because we lived somewhere very different. We were actually living in Colorado. I was in college. 30 years ago today, I'll say it this way, 30 years ago today, Amy met me. That's a good way to say it. 30 years ago, Amy and I met. 6 months later, we were married. We were both 5 years old at the time. Yeah, so crazy stuff going on. But yeah, November 19th, it's a big day, and when it hits on a Sunday, it's even better. So wish Levi a happy birthday, and then you know, just tell Amy, stick with it. Stick with it just a little bit longer. And it's funny because it's kind of ironic that today's message is what today's message is, based on that we actually met this day 30 years ago. But anyway, let's get started into our message and see what we got going. Now, if you have been reading, or if you've ever read the book of Colossians, that you know that today was coming. After what we talked about last week, you know what was coming. And if you've been keeping up on where we are in this series, well, today is here. And by today's standards and culture, our text this morning is a very controversial passage of Scripture. Therefore, we're going to put out a little warning here, a little rating message here. Just so you know. You know, they do that before movies, so we might as well do it here. Now, here's the deal. We don't hide or omit or skip over any Scripture for any reason, do we? Not because it could be a little controversial, not because it's a little rough, not because it's a little convicting, not because culture says, oh my gosh, you can't read that part of the Bible. We're not going to skip over anything for any reason. Therefore, today will be one of my more controversial messages. And some of you are going, oh my goodness, when are we getting the easy one? But we're not getting the easy one today. This is a good one, though, man. It is so good. Now, the controversy does not lay within the biblical culture that we have established here at Bridge. Rather, the controversy lies within the mainstream American culture. And since that we live and we're exposed to these worldly cultural dynamics and norms on a day-to-day basis, there just may be some things that we discuss today that could ruffle a few feathers. I mean, you guys like to get your feathers ruffled just a little bit, get those ruffles up and things like that. If this is the case for you, can I just suggest that you don't shut down, you don't close off, but rather get into your Bible Ask for the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures, and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and to grant you wisdom within passages like this, and then, of course, take it to prayer. If after you do all of these things, if you still need to call me, to email me, to text me, to come in and to discuss anything with me, feel free to do so, and we can talk about it. We can talk about Scripture and what Paul is saying here and why it is so important, but we're going to get all that today. But remember, if you do call me and you come in and you want to tell me how I shouldn't have said this or that or how Scripture isn't relevant anymore, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? All right, now with the stage set, let's see what Paul has for the faithful believer in the Colossian church as well as us. Before we get started, let's remember why Paul is writing this book, this letter to the Colossian church. Number one, Jesus is central and supreme to all and in all things. Number two, Jesus is the Son of God. Number three, we are to strive to live a life in Christ. Now, we have that understanding. That's why he wrote to the Colossian believers. But in so many ways, that's why he's writing to us. So we take this and we make it personal, right? We can rearrange it and say this. Jesus, you are central and supreme to me and in all things in my life. Jesus, you got to be the number one in my life. Number two, Jesus, I do, in fact, for sure believe that you are the Son of God. And number three, Jesus, I will constantly and continually strive to live a life in you as my Lord and Savior. See, we have to do that, number three. It's got to be constantly and continually because, man, we wander. We wander all over the place. Our mind wanders, our busyness wanders, so we have to always come back to that midpoint of Jesus, and that's a continual thing. That's something we need to be doing on a daily basis. Now, before we read our opening text, it's important to remember and exhibit those traits that we learned about in the last couple of messages, namely, if you remember, to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And if you remember, these are all bound together and flowing through love. So this morning, don't throw anything at me or anything like that. Let's just flow in that love as well as peace. Last week, we learned about the peace of Christ. And we have an understanding that peace of Christ needs to be the umpire or the controlling and determining factor in our hearts. Sometimes we are so ready to respond with words or with actions. And what Jesus is saying is, settle down, just take a second here, just live in my peace, let things sink in, think about those things, pray about those things, and then see if you still are going to respond like that. Now, before we start breaking this and the subsequent verses down that we're going to jump into, we do this so we can have this practical application in our lives. Before we do all of this, before we even jump into the first verse, we need to understand a few things. First off, the verses from Colossians chapter 3:18 to chapter 4:1 need to be seen as applying specifically to the principles that Paul laid down in verse 17. We have an understanding, right, within the context of the Scripture, especially in Paul's writings just build upon each other, right? They just keep building upon each other. So we have to go back and have that understanding that what verse 3:18 and 3:19 and 20 and 21 especially, it comes back to verse 17. The problem is if we just look at verse 3:18 and nothing else, we're going to have about half the church is going to get riled up. But when we have the context of 17, you remember what Colossians 3:17 said? Here it is. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So it's no matter what we do in life, we are to do it to the glory of God, right? Even if it's things that I don't really want to do, I remove myself, I take myself out of that, and I say, well, God, you put me in this position, put me in this opportunity, therefore I'm going to do it to the glory of you. I want to do everything in the name of Jesus. So please keep this in mind today as we look at family relationships that God, man, he dearly cares about. And he wants to strengthen within ourselves and in our marriages and in our families. Secondly, this passage of Scripture deals with duties and not rights. Right? Duties and not rights. We live in a time where we all demand our rights. I have the right to this and I have the right to that. But Paul's backing up here and saying this isn't about rights necessarily. This is about duties. How you choose to look at these verses that we go through today will largely depend upon if you are looking through the eyes of duty or the demand of rights. Number three, these duties are reciprocal. They're reciprocal. In every relationship, there's a two-way street, right? In order to go anywhere, it has to be a two-way street. A relationship can never be one-sided. Would you guys agree with that? That means even our relationship with God isn't one-sided, though some people want to make it one-sided. They want to make it all about them or all about this unknowable God. But it's a two-way street. It's a relationship. It's like, hey, God said this to man, I said this to him, and it was wonderful, and all this great stuff came. So every relationship should mimic that. And then fourthly, this is an important one as well. This passage is somewhat of a more brief passage that we find in Ephesians 5:22 to 5:33. So when contemplating today's message, Ephesians 5 is a really great place to go. Now, if you're not already there, and I bet most of you are, turn with me to Colossians 3, verse 18. You guys ready for it? Yeah. Let's start this out. Wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God, as is proper and fitting in the Lord. And every husband in here said,
amen.
Amen. Now, don't worry, ladies. We're going to get to the guys here in a minute. Now, by today's standard, this verse right here is looked upon as an outdated, irrelevant verse at the least. But more often it's used as a weapon against Christianity and promoted as an oppressive and misogynistic message that a more culturally evolved society must stand against. The feminist movement, which started in the 1960s, go ahead and change that slide. The feminist movement that started in the 1960s, it was really doomed from the start on so many levels, and it was really hijacked right there from the beginning. And though there was some of the things that they were trying to accomplish, some of the things that they were after, they were legitimate things, they neglected the basic assumption: women are not men, and men are not women. Isn't that just crazy? Right? Everybody in here at a certain age is going, well, of course not. But unfortunately, we look at society today and society tries to lump everybody into the same bowl. But God said, no, there's two different bowls. There's men and there's women, and men are created a certain way and women are created a certain way, and both ways are glorious and both ways are beautiful and both ways are to be celebrated. Thus, when many women look at a verse like this, there is aversion and there's even arrogance to a verse like this, all the while lacking true understanding as they focus their rebellion against God upon anyone who they deem as enemy. I am woman. Hear me roar. Many of the Bible translations use a different word than we use today, and that different word is submit. They use the word submit. That can be a harsh word in anything, can't it? Submit. Woman, submit. But if we back up and we look at the Greek word, it helps us to gain a much better understanding. See, Paul's use of this word means to arrange, as in a troop division in a military fashion under the commander's leadership and the commander's really control. And any military commander is going to take care of those as he is put in charge of, right? He's not going to neglect them. He's not going to just send them into harm with a careless idea or agenda. No, he is not going to assert his authority upon them in such a way that is going to hurt them, right? It really carries the connotation of order here. So submission is all about order. Now, in a non-military use, this same Greek word is a voluntary attitude of giving in. It's cooperating. It's assuming responsibility, and it's carrying a burden. So to submit is to do all of those things and all. Where the issue can come in is when this verse is misrepresented. This is not a verse that promotes or conveys rights upon a husband and father to be a domestic tyrant. Remember, this verse is written to the women, not the men. So the men can't latch on to this verse and use it as a weapon. Rather, the woman uses this verse as insight. See, the man is not to rule his family like a dictator with a fist of iron and a need for total subjugation. It does, however, imply that the husband has an authority and a responsibility from God, a responsibility that the wife should voluntarily forego exerting and exercising. What it comes down to is this principle of the husband being the spiritual head of the household and the wife not only respecting that role, but assisting him so that he can be just that. When God's standard is applied here, marriage and relationships are elevated to a higher level. Amen. For the wife specifically, this submission will bring security, and it will bring order. Security because it takes undue pressure off the wife, and order because it's living in God's overall plan for us, our marriages, and our families. Which now brings us to the next verse. 3:19, husbands, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them, and do not be embittered or resentful toward them because of the responsibilities of marriage. And all the ladies quietly and joyfully said, yeah. Amen. Yeah, we read this and we can kind of laugh back and forth, but it's impactful and there's a lot going on here, and it's important stuff for us to understand right now. But what we also have to understand was Paul was making a monumental statement here within the context of when he wrote this letter. See, in the ancient world, and even among the Jews at this time, a wife was looked on as little more than property. You see, as contradictory as verse 18 can be seen today, it aligns with the standard of the ancient world. Now, verse 9 brings a striking contrast. Paul takes an opposing approach and conveys that a husband is not to assume the head because of self-imposed authority that the wife's bound and obligated to obey, but rather that he assumes the headship of the family as a reflection of Christ's love for his bride, the church. And honestly, as a husband, as a spiritual head of a house, it's not an easy role to live out. That's why this verse directs the husband to not become resentful to the wife because God placed him in this position. Does that make sense? It's like, God, I know I'm supposed to be the head, the spiritual head of the household, but it brings on so much demands and it's hard to do. And darn that woman, if I wasn't married to her, I wouldn't be in this role. See, we're not supposed to do that. As people, we like to blame others for what God burdens in our life, right? And as hard as it can be, a husband is to be the head and cannot blame the wife for this responsibility. Let's look at Ephesians 5:25 because it does grant us a better understanding here. Husbands, love your wives, seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus died, gave his life for his church, for his bride. And now when we start to understand this, we start to see that these passages, this is in no way an oppressive or misogynistic message. Remember, context matters. In essence, what these two verses are saying is that God created men and women uniquely different, and that he has a wonderful plan for men and women and ultimately families through cooperative connection. Right? God brought them together. It's a cooperative connection. It is a plan of love, but it's also a plan of order. It is within God's wisdom that we need to embrace his plan. Right? We're reading these scriptures, and in today's modern day and age, we can be, I don't know. This is God's plan. This is the wisdom of God's plan. And I, for one, want to embrace the wisdom of God's plan in all parts of my life. Now, we need to go back, way back, because it's important to understand the creation narrative here. You guys remember, if you've read the first few chapters of Genesis, you will know that Adam was made out of the dust. Adam was made out of the dirt, right? God grabbed all that dirt and dust and formed it together and then breathed into that, and Adam was created, but Adam was created in the wilderness. So understand that God created the Garden of Eden after he created Adam. And then he took Adam and placed Adam in the beauty of the garden. Moved from wilderness to the most amazing place God had chosen to create. Eve, on the other hand, Eve was created out of Adam, right? Adam's rib. God put him to sleep and pulled out that rib and created Eve just for Adam. Cooperative, just perfect. It came right together. But Eve was created in the beauty of the garden. So she did not have the same wilderness experience that Adam did. Hers was of pure beauty. And the creation story inherently shows off differences in man and woman, and yet because of God's plan, creates completion in our lives. Marriage, therefore, to be healthy and complete, must be between a man and a woman and God. There we go. Look at that. Don't you love that? This is another reason these verses are so controversial, because the fact that these verses attest to man-woman connection, family, kids, responsibility within that, because they promote this institution of marriage, the institution that was created by God and ordained by Him, it brings controversy. A union of one man and one woman that naturally brings order when God is involved. Unfortunately, in our sophisticated culture of today, we not only rebel against God, but we rebel against God's order. So make no mistake, verses 18 and 19 place a lot of responsibility on both a wife and a husband. Verse 18 calls a wife to a voluntary submission to her husband, something that is not natural by a worldly standard. Verse 19 calls a husband to not only love, but to also lead. And with that, takes on all the responsibilities and the rigors of leading in a world that is against him and his family. Guys, the world is against a man and his role and his family and all of those things. See, the greatest threat to these verses, and consequently to marriage and relationships and families, is this current attempt to emasculate men. It's all over the place. It is all over the place. Today's culture seeks to deprive a man of both his role and his identity. We just read what the second most important role of a man is. Second most important role of a man is to love their wives with affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love and always seek the best for them, which very much involves protecting them and, if necessary, laying their life down for them. Man's only role above this is his obedience to God himself. See, culture seeks to deprive man of that very identity. Adam was created in the image of God, correct? We read that, we understand that. It's beautiful, it's amazing. And yet the current war against man is, and man assuming his godly role in marriage, family, and society is fought on all fronts right now, trying to strip man's very identity, the identity that God gave him. And the biggest casualties are our boys and our young men. They're taking it, man. They're getting smeared out there. Ultimately, it's a fight against God, His truth, His order, and His love for us. Too many people, far too many people, even good people, Christian people, are being divided and deceived right here. And unfortunately, we are paying the price in our families. Which brings us to verses 20 and 21. Children, we got the wives, we got the husband, and now we get to the children. Children, obey your parents as God's representatives in all things, for this attitude of respect and obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord and will bring you God's promised blessings. Fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness, so they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. And once again, we come back to the principles that we stated here, and we see the duty of both sides without asserting their rights, right? For children, Paul could not have been more clear here. Obey your parents. When? In all things. Why? Because it's pleasing to God. Children, obey your parents in all things because it's well-pleasing to God. Has anyone else in here noticed that there is a general disrespect to parents as well as any authority in any regard. Have you guys noticed that's going on right now? Parents are, they don't know anything. Parents are just goofy, especially the father. The father is always portrayed in TV shows and in movies as kind of the bumbling idiot, right? And the woman has to try to take charge, but the kids, they're disrespectful. And they're trying to influence culture. But I'm telling you, that's not God's order. So kids, as children, we are to respect our parents. See, the essence of being a parent is to be in a place of authority. Again, God's model of authority is exemplified by His authority in each one of our lives. It's loving while being based in truth and in righteousness. It brings security and confidence into a family, not fear and doubt. Mothers and fathers are to assume the role of parents, not friends. That's actually Amy's childhood picture. Just kidding. Her hair was always redder than that one. How is a child supposed to obey and look up to their mom or dad if instead of a parent, they see them as an equal? It doesn't make sense. And yet we see it all over the place right now. As parents, we are to help our children obey the same way that the Holy Spirit helps us to obey. Love, order, security, and yes, discipline, which is highlighted in verse 21. The intentional mention of fathers here is to affirm the role of the man as the spiritual head of the household. Parenting is a two-part deal, right? It absolutely is. But if you notice, Paul said, fathers, this is your responsibility because fathers, you're the spiritual head of the home. Therefore, fathers, you have this responsibility. And mothers as wives, what do? You voluntarily submit to help the dad, to help the husband in parenting these things. See, it's order, it's cooperative, it's amazing, it's God's plan. Again, think about how God accomplishes this in us. Is it through exasperation with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive? No, it's not. Is it through favoritism and indifference? No, it's not. See, God teaches us how to grow and He loves us through tenderness and through loving kindness in order that we will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with our spirits broken. How do we treat our kids? Same way how God treats us, right? There's too many Christians out there that have a concept of a loving Father in heaven that wants everything that's best for them, that is patient with them, that walks them through these things, and they comprehend that, and yet it's quite opposite when they parent themselves or parent their kids. What's the disconnect there? It's hard to understand, which is why we come back to verses like this. See, Paul found it necessary way back when he wrote this letter to include these passages on family relationships and dynamics. And I believe God placed within each one of us a knowledge and a desire to strive for everything that we just talked about today. I believe everybody that is born, there's something within them that wants them to strive for this order. I also believe because of the consequence of the fall, we are born into a world that is hostile to what God has inherently placed within us. Just look at newborns. You know, newborns, they're reliant upon their parents. They recognize a difference between a mom and a dad, between a man and a woman. A newborn understands that. And then when they get to be a toddler and they're young and they're so innocent, all they want to do is love and be loved. They want to be protected. They want to be made felt secure. See, that's the order of God. And then they get a little older and the world comes at them full bore. It starts influencing them. Tries to tell them that there is no God, therefore there is no order. Things start to unravel and divorce can come in there and all of a sudden there's two different households going on. And maybe the dad's nowhere to be seen. Now that mom has to try to assume both roles as husband and wife, as mother and father. And sometimes circumstances just place this onto a person's life, but God's order is so much beyond that. He doesn't change his order simply because of this situation. What he does is he is sufficient in that situation. But we understand the need for proper relationships, right? For proper family order, for love and respect and leadership and submission. That's why, you know, the Bible, one of the best principles for relationships within the Bible deals with being equally yoked, right? So the young lady, man, she's going to marry this young man and she's going to change him. She's going to bring him to church and vice versa, right? It's all mixed up. And in God's plan and God's order is that a relationship is equally yoked from the beginning. And honestly, equally yoked can be two unbelievers, right? And God's desire is that they both come. And that's what Amy and I were. It was this, we were both really unbelievers. And he yoked us together 30 years ago today. And then he brought us both into his kingdom on the same Sunday morning. There was an equality there. So we have to look at things within being equally yoked so that the progression out of that equally yoked can be the order of God. And the order of God then is transferred into our families and into our children, right? And then there can be a strength to stand against the onslaught of a secular evil world coming against them. So yes, the world's culture has set itself up against anything that is godly and true. I'll never lie about that from the pulpit. The world is against us. It is at war against how God uniquely created a man and how he uniquely created a woman. It is a war against our true identity that we can only find in Christ. You can only find your true identity in Christ. You can try to find it in other places, and you will fail because our true identity can only be found in Christ. It is a war against God's model of marriage, right? You know, all of the stuff, the crazy, the LGBTQ, I don't even know what else goes on to the end because there's something added monthly. All of that comes out of this war on traditional godly marriage and the order of the family that brings in. Is a war against traditional families. What is a family? What is a traditional family? There's a difference in our society today. But God has a plan. And you better believe that it is a war against our kids. It is a major war against our kids. Now, as a parent, if somebody's going to come against my kids, you're not going to see the pastoral side of me. And you're just not. I'm going to protect my kids. But where have we lost that desire to protect God's order and God's plan within our lives? We casually let so many influences in through the back door, and then we wonder why things are so amiss and things are so chaotic, because it's a war. And verses like this attest that God has an order, and that from the beginning the world was against that order. Worship team, if you guys want to come up. So acknowledging that there is that war, I'm going to ask you the same question as I asked you last week. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to navigate this? How are you going to testify to the greatness of God in your life in a way that brings clarity to those who have a misunderstanding? When you see young people in turmoil, or young people that are dating, or families that are a mess. I'm telling you, there are so many families that are a mess. So many families that are a mess. And the commonality is they've de-churched, they've separated themselves from church and the order of God. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to pray about it? How are we going to stand firm in what we believe is right and know to be true? I don't know. That's something that you have to decide on your own. You have to reconcile that within yourselves. Young people in here today, please listen. It is important to put Jesus first, to understand that He has a plan for your life, and that only He can bring that order into your life. Pray for a girlfriend, pray for a boyfriend, pray for an eventual spouse, pray for eventual kids, because within God's order, there is security. Within God's order, there is peace. Within God's order, there is hope. And within God's order, there is love. All of these things existing within a culture that is so whacked out and chaotic that they don't know what's up and what's down. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. We have to stand firm in God. I'm going to pray. I didn't know how to end today. There was a lot. But I think the way we're going to end today is I'm just going to pray. We're going to go back into worship. The altar is obviously open. Use it. Make your decision. Wrestle with these verses. Wrestle with these principles. Affirm them in your life. Use it as a time to, if you're a grandparent or a parent of adult kids or older kids, younger kids, use it as a time to intercede for them. If you know people, if you look around this church and say, hey, where'd this family go and where'd that family go? This morning is a morning to pray for that family, because most of them are in chaos. They're in discord. They're in tribulation. What they need to do is they need to step back in to God's truth and God's order. So this morning, as we just open up these altars, use it as a time to reconcile, to pray, to worship, to acknowledge, to pray for others, to intercede, all of those things. That's how we're supposed to end today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that we have a house here, a church here, a body of believers here where we're not afraid of the controversial stuff. We're not afraid of the hard stuff. We're not afraid of those verses that the world uses to condemn us. Rather, we're faithful to You with an understanding that Your truth, Your scripture is ideal, it's perfect, and that if we simply open it up and begin to dig into it, to unravel it, to marinate in it, Lord God, the beauty of Your truth comes through, and it's a shining example of a higher standard than what we see anywhere else. So this morning, Lord God, I pray for those that have wondered about these verses. verses, who have struggled with any of these verses, Lord God, not just ladies, but the men, the call to leadership and responsibility. That's a hard one. It's a scary one. Pray for them, Lord God. I pray for families that are struggling, those that have stepped away from you because things just got too busy, too hard. Lord God, call them back into fellowship with you and fellowship with your church. Lord God, that is our desire, to live within your order and to promote that beautiful order with an understanding that you created man and woman in order to have children, to make families, to be a benefit to those around them, to be a benefit to society, Lord God, to stand against the lies of the enemy. Lord God, help us to reconcile all that this morning. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. The altar will be open. Pray with each other. Pray by yourselves. Whatever you see fit. Oh, and when we just want Jesus, oh, that brings that order, that hope, just all of those parameters into our lives, parameters that were foreign to us before. But when we come to Jesus, all of a sudden there's these beautiful parameters that we get to operate within, and that brings us so much confidence and security. It's amazing. If you've never experienced that, man, grab me after service. Today's message, we don't want to move on from it too quickly. Yes, in a few minutes we're going to do the dessert auction, and it's going to be fun, and we're going to laugh and just have a good time, but please don't let the dessert auction divert you from the truth that we just experienced in here this morning. With that being said, please, if there's some of you guys that want to run down and bring those up as quickly as possible, we'll just line them up right here in the front, and maybe in about 10 minutes we'll kick off the auction. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.